iHeart Podcasts. Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
All right, pop quiz for you. Do you know which fast food chain uses the phrase your way right away?
Yeah, of course, Burger King.
You got it. All right, well, I want to tell you about a little group of pranksters there. There were some writers in Japan, and they've been testing the limits of that catchphrase since back in 2012. So every few years, they walk into a Burger King, and they order something outrageous. And it's different every year. Like, they ordered a cheeseburger one year with 1,000 slices of cheese, and they pay for whatever that costs. But, you know, of course, the photos of this are ridiculous, and it just looks like this tiny mountain of cheese slices piled about a foot in the air. I don't know how they possibly ate this, but that's what they ordered.
I mean, that much cheese feels like it's just like taunting anyone with lactose intolerance, right?
Oh, yeah, it'd be a nightmare. But the writers didn't stop there. So 2 years ago, they decided to repeat the feat, but this time with pickles.
So I already like where this is going. How many pickles can you stack on a burger?
All right, so the writers paid about 9,000 yen, or about $80, to max the burger out with pickles. And the Whopper artist at Burger King managed to get about 700 pickles piled onto the patty and the bun. But then they had to package this thing. So the staff actually had to tape all these Whopper wrappers together to fit the burger into some packaging, you know, so the writers could take it home. And then, of course, the writers actually just went to town on this thing.
So did they actually finish the burger?
Oh, nowhere close. I mean, that is a gross amount of pickles, even if you like pickles.
Yeah.
But the Japanese Burger King's got some good press out of it, and those writers will probably never have to worry about scurvy. So that's the good news, and that's just the first of our 9 stories about pickles today. So let's dive in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And sitting on the other side of the soundproof glass, wearing a shirt that says, "Let's make a dill," that's our producer and pickle enthusiast, Tristan the Pickle Man McNeil.
So, do you think he knew we were doing a show on pickles today, or was it just like a coincidence that he wore that shirt? I feel like I've seen him like wear a dozen pickle shirts to work now.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many pickle shirts this guy has, so I'm going to go with coincidence. All right, Mango. So, I kick this off with a pickle prank that I think any of us can actually do at Burger King. So, that is assuming they have 700 pickles on hand. But anyway, where do you want to start off with your first fact?
So, I'm going to start with one that I'm kind of obsessed with, even though I've never actually tried them, and that's Kool-Aid pickles, which I guess originated in the Mississippi Delta. They're basically just store-bought pickles that you get in a jar, and then you dump out the pickle juice and replace it with Kool-Aid and sometimes extra sugar. And then the pickles just absorb that Kool-Aid flavor, and you get a sweet and sour taste that people seem to go crazy for.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, this sounds gross to me because, like, while I could see the worth in eating a pickle and then, like, downing it with a swig of Kool-Aid, I don't know why you'd intentionally combine those flavors.
You know, something I saw recently that grosses me out in the same way is these Greek salad pizzas when people put lettuce on their pizzas. There are certain things I don't know why you combine the experiences.
I know. I mean, like, there's no reason for a salad pie, right? Like, that
I'm
makes
with you.
No
100%.
Sense.
I'm with you.
But apparently there are a few thoughts on where these Kool-Aid pickles actually originated. Some people have referenced how Kool-Aid used to be common at picnics and barbecues in the South. It's kind of a cultural drink where pickles were also served, and people think that's where it came from. There's also this disgusting theory I saw how kids used to use Kool-Aid powder and pickles like Fun Dip, and they just take a dill pickle and dip it all up in that powder, and then and somehow stores took notice and decided to combine the flavors. But today you can supposedly walk into like gas stations and delis all across the Delta and buy Kool-Aid pickles singles in every flavor. So you can get them in the red flavor, blue flavor, purple flavor. But my favorite thing about them is the names. So some places call them coolicles or piculas, which is a strange name. They're also called candy dills and candy pickles. And when Walmart started selling a fruit punch flavor, they'd actually sell them in jars for $2 a pop. They called them tropicals, which is, I guess, the best name.
Yeah.
Actually, there's some places where people substitute the traditional Kool-Aid with snow cone syrup. So those are called snow cone pickles.
That's pretty good. Actually, I think that one might be my favorite. So I'm curious, though, like, how does Kool-Aid feel about Kool-Aid pickles? Have you read anything about this?
Yeah, if you look online, it almost seems like Kool-Aid is perplexed by the phenomenon, but they do have a recipe for cherry-flavored pickles on their site with a very tepid endorsement. They claim it's, quote, worth a try. And honestly, the more I talk about them, I do think they're worth a try.
I guess so. We should definitely try to get our hands on some, and some other people should try them if I don't. We'll see. But, all right, well, speaking of mysterious pickle origins, I found this great Alice Obscura story about a jar of pickles in Des Peres, Missouri. Now, apparently, there's this jar that's been left on the side of a highway ramp, and it's become this cult obsession. So this woman, Barb Steen, noticed them sitting there back in 2012, and for some reason, it just kind of made her happy looking at them every day. So she sets up this Facebook group called Team Pickle, you know, to make the pickles famous. As she tells Atlas Obscura, quote, "Every day for 6 years, I brushed my teeth, I got in my car, and I looked for pickles. Seasons changed, the sun beat down, the snow piled up, construction and protest action shut down the highway, and the pickles remained. Like there was some aura around it, just protecting it."
I like the idea of these, like, holy pickles. So this kind of became a phenomenon, I guess?
Yeah, the Facebook group started with, like, 25 people or so, and then people started writing jokes and these elaborate poems in honor of the pickles, and people started making pilgrimages there just to see the pickle jar, and the following grew and grew, and sometimes it would get stolen or knocked off the ledge, and then another jar of pickles would appear. Sometimes it was the super full jar of pickles or fresh new pickles, and sometimes it's homemade pickles placed in Tupperware, and of course there are theories about why the pickles were there in the first place. Some people think it was just this construction worker who was drinking pickle juice to avoid cramps and then left it there accidentally. But Steen is a romantic, and she's got a different story, and it actually cracks me up to hear what she thinks about this. So she believes, quote, "Maybe it's somebody with a forbidden love, and they put the pickles up there at the exit to say, hey, I'm thinking of you."
That's amazing. And also very, very romantic.
So, yeah.
So I was looking up Vlasic pickles. And do you know why Vlasic has a stork for a mascot?
No, I don't.
It's actually playing off the idea that pregnant women crave pickles, which makes sense when you think about it. I found these old commercials of that stork doing a Groucho Marx voice and sticking a pickle out of its mouth like a cigar. And, you know, I just assumed they picked a memorable mascot because it's funny looking and cute and whatever. But apparently there was actually a news hook behind picking a stork. In the 1970s, the U.S. had this drop in birth rates. And the joke was that since storks were out of work from delivering babies, they just picked up, like, these part-time jobs delivering pickles to pregnant women. And, in fact, the company's slogan at the time was "The Pickle Pregnant Women Crave." And all this advertising actually worked. They used to be tied with Heinz for 10% of the pickle market, and the ads helped them pull ahead and double their share. But that isn't even the weirdest bit of marketing I saw from Vlasic. I also found this book of pickle jokes they put out. It's called 101 Pickle Jokes Guaranteed to Pickle Your Funny Bone.
Oh, gosh, just from that line, I'm sure they're just great. So are the jokes any good? There's no way they're any good, right?
Well, I'm going to run them by you. So here's one from the cover. Who's the toughest pickle in Dodge City? Marshall Dill.
What?
And what's green and soars through the air? Jonathan Livingston Pickle. These are the jokes that they picked for the cover. Like, these are the jokes that are supposed to lure you into the book.
Yeah, these are the best ones they have. But actually, that kind of makes me want to read the best. You know how much I love horrible, horrible jokes? There was that book of monster jokes.
Read
and just could not stop laughing because they were so horrible. We might have to do a whole episode on terrible jokes from joke books. All right, well, here's a fact about pickles that I thought was interesting. So you know Charles Atlas, right?
Yeah, he's that bodybuilder from forever ago with all those ads in, like, Boy Scout magazines and stuff about getting strong and not letting people kick sand in your face.
Yeah, that's right. You should not let people kick sand in your face. That's a good rule. So I came across his recommended diet on Jason Kottke's site, and it's surprisingly ahead of its time in some ways. So here are some of the rules. It says, no refined sugar, no bleached flour, no white rice, no fatty meats, no soft drinks, no coffee or tea, no staying up past midnight ever. But it also recommends no mustard, no vinegar, and definitely no pickles.
That's funny. I feel like I finally know why I don't have that Charles Atlas physique. It's just all these pickles I eat.
All those pickles. You just keep eating pickles. Otherwise, you'd be totally ripped. Well, actually, Kottke makes a joke about this list, and he writes, reading that chapter was like having Charles Atlas ask me to list all my favorite things in the world, then grab the list from my hands, crumple it up, and toss it in my face. Although the strangest part he mentions is that Charles Atlas does make an exception for candy in the chapter. So what he says is, if you must eat candy, be sure it is of the very highest quality. I don't really know what that means, but that's what he's looking for.
That's crazy that it is a cheat for candy. But just out of curiosity, are you a fan of pickles?
I'm really not. I mean, I will say I like pickle flavor. I love things like pickle chips, but there's something about the texture that just throws me off, so I can't do pickles. And I love having somebody with me when I'm eating a sandwich with pickles on them, because I don't want them to go to waste, so I can always find a pickle lover to eat them.
That's so funny, because I don't think I ever noticed that. Like, I love pickles, and I've eaten with you dozens of times and never seen you take a pickle off your plate. But I know people who hate, like, cilantro or onions, but, you know, I don't really think of people hating pickles. And then I read this column from Brian Hickey in the Philly Voice, and he is outraged that pickles just come on your plate without you asking for them. So here's a quote from his column. "Some of you like pickles. I get that. But you are not decent people, at least not if you think it's okay for a restaurant to force pickles upon those of us whose stomachs turn at the mere sight, or worsely, smell of those squishy, acidic intruders." Like, his piece is really funny. And he goes line by line kind of grumping about great facts about pickles and then why he doesn't care. Like, he says, "Cleopatra ate pickles for beauty. I don't care. I never met her." Anyway, it's really funny to me. And even though I guess pickles were initially offered as a palate cleanser, the same way people use like ginger for sushi, so that you can get a fresh bite of pastrami sandwich and the flavors feel all new to your palate, like after biting into a pickle. I actually read his column and came away with a bit of empathy for people who just don't love pickles slapped onto their plate as a default.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate him speaking up on our behalf. But I was reading an article in the Toronto Star about a pickle factory up there, and it was going through some hard times. And one of the things the story talked about was that there's a Washington-based pickle think tank called Pickle Packers International. And they keep stats. It's so hard to say that the Pickle Packers
International. It sounds like a joke. It's amazing.
But it's real. And they keep stats on various pickle shipping metrics and various numbers. And one of the things they calculated is that North American consumers believe that the perfect pickle has 7 warts per square inch. 7 warts per square inch.
I mean, I don't know how much I really want, like, warty pickles.
I don't want pickles at all. And now that they have warts, I want them even less.
Well, I feel like most of them just come that way. So, like, I eat them. But if I had a choice, I'd definitely go wartless.
Well, it isn't just you. And, you know, Europeans actually prefer wartless pickles as well. So those are the kind that tend to get sold there. And, you know, one other interesting thing about European pickles, and this comes from an article I read in The Atlantic, but apparently after the Berlin Wall came down, all these East German brands were quickly put to rest. They used to make this inferior Nutella called Nudosi, and there was a car you might remember called the Trabant. And, you know, the joke about the Trabant was that its best feature was the rear window defroster, because it kept your hands toasty whenever you had to push it around town. But the one thing the East Germans undeniably did better than everyone else was pickles, specifically this one pickle called the Spreewald. And after reunification, West German pickle makers started throwing the term Spreewald on their pickles. And, you know, of course, this is kind of like champagne, where it's this protected class of pickles. And supposedly 50% of Germany's domestic pickle market is Spreewald.
Oh, man, I like that there's a superior pickle out there. And now I've actually got 2 pickles on my bucket list, Kulikuls and Spreewalds.
You got a lot of eating to do.
Actually, speaking of German pickle traditions, there's one I want you to clarify for me, but why don't we do that after the break? Welcome back to Part-Time Genius. So, Will, did I ever tell you about my friend Bart, who was kicked out of our friend's house for asking for a pickle?
I feel like I would remember this story. No, I don't think you did.
So this is so stupid, and it might only be funny to me, but in 6th or 7th grade, there was this story that got widely circulated that Bart, and I've, of course, changed his name here, was at a sleepover, and he asked for a pickle, and our other friend's mom was so offended that he was told he could never come back to the house. And it was such a weird story, but it just became part of, like, our middle school lore. Like, everyone talked about this. Everyone knew the story. And then, like, a few years ago, I asked our other friend who'd actually hosted the sleepover if it was true that Bart got banned from the house just for asking for a pickle. And he started laughing, and he said, "No, Because, of course, Bart could ask for a pickle. Like, that was his prerogative. But then he left pickle juice and pickle parts strewn all over the counter and made such an incredible mess of the pickles that that's why he got banned. But I just love that there was all this mystery and middle school gossip over someone's mom getting angry at, like, a pickle incident. And also, like, what sort of, like, rock star antics must have gone with these pickles? Like, it was just, like, so devastating a scene that he got banned and thrown out. But
I love that you felt like you had to change his name because this was such a scandal that you couldn't possibly call him by his real name, so we just have to know him as Bart.
Bart. Like, once a year, I'll look in the fridge and see a jar of pickles and think about Bart. I know that you looked up German pickles, and I don't want to force your hand on your last fact, but I do want to know, did you find out anything about Christmas pickles, and did they actually come from Germany?
So you know about Christmas pickles? Does your family hide them?
I mean, it's just one of those, like, funny Christmas traditions you hear about. My family's always done, like, a tree and carols and ornaments, even though we're Hindu, and presents and all that, but, like, we've actually never done a Christmas pickle.
All right, well, for those of you who don't know about Christmas pickles, or the, and I'm going to butcher this pronunciation of it, but the Weihnachtsgurke, the idea is that you hide a pickle ornament as the very last ornament you hang on the tree. And the kid who finds this ornament gets good luck the next year. It's a little like hiding the Afikoman at the Passover Seder, but it's actually not a German tradition. It actually started at Woolworths, where they import German ornaments, and these whimsical shapes started showing up in the mix, like pickles, and people just assumed they were traditional in Germany. Actually, there's one other good story associated with Christmas pickles that I thought I'd share. There's this legend that this Bavarian soldier named John Lohr fell ill while fighting during the Civil War. And when he was on his deathbed at Andersonville, he asked for a pickle. And somehow that pickle cured him. And so from then on, he hung a pickle from his Christmas tree every year, and that launched a tradition.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that story, but I do love it. Actually, there's this old fact I remember from Mental Floss, that there's this place in Michigan called Berrien Springs, and it refers to itself as the Christmas pickle capital of the world. And they have this parade every year that's led by a grand dillmeister who just lobs these wet, fresh pickles into the crowd of, like, parade watchers. I don't know if it still happens, but it's one of those facts that, you know, I found and I just can never forget. But that's actually not my last fact.
All right, so what do you have for us?
So there's this old story that there's a law in Connecticut that pickles have to bounce a certain height to be considered pickles. So I actually asked our researcher, Eves, to look into it. And she said, while there's no law on the books, there are statutes and regulations and articles that address pickles that plop instead of ones that bounce. And apparently there's an article from 1948 where these pickle packers, their names were Sidney Sparer and Moses Dexler, they were actually caught for selling bad pickles. And technically, these pickles were called unfit for human consumption. So they were really bad pickles. But then the Food and Drug Commissioner for the state stepped in, and he stated a good way to check for pickles, in addition to any other lab tests, was to drop a pickle from a height of 1 foot and see whether they bounce.
I've heard of the bounce test, I guess, as they call it. Is the bounce test actually real?
It is. And Sparer and Dexler's pickles did not bounce. Apparently, they just plopped and they were arrested and had to pay a $500 fine. And all of their bad pickles were destroyed. But, you know, when I think about this, if they just stuck them in a vat of Kool-Aid, they probably would have gotten away with it.
All right. Well, you and I had a bunch of great pickle facts today. But I think the fact that my deathbed pickle story was so good, Mango, and your Vlasic pickle jokes were so bad, I feel like I probably should take home the trophy today.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And a big thanks to Eves for helping out with today's facts and research.
Definitely a big thanks to Eves. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.